It's this basic stuff that we need to put under our belt. Some of you know all that. Some of you don't. If you're like me, when I came to Christ, I had not been ready to learn, to have a lot of that. And so, you know, that was good for me, learning that. So I hope you'll enjoy it. Even if you are knowledgeable of it, remediation is always good. Because in the Bible, Paul wrote this, I'm going to remind you of something. I'm going to remind you of something. Or remember something. And we constantly have to be rehearsing God's truth over and over. Have you found that to be true in your life? Well, thank you for being my timekeeper. Would you let me know when it's 9:20? And that gives me 5 minutes before I wrap up. And I kind of went a little long last week, but it was so hard for me because I get long in it. But let's open with a word of prayer, and I'm so thankful you're here this morning. Let's pray for you. Our Father, we're so thankful this morning for the blessing of gathering together. It's such a blessing. We do not take it lightly. That we're able to come and we're able to meet and we're able to study your word together. And so we ask you to bless us this morning. I thank you for every woman that got up and made preparation and she put you before other things this morning. And she came to Sunday school and most of us brought somebody with us. And so, Father, thank you. We pray that this time will be time well spent. We don't want to just meet, Father, for frivolous things. We want to meet and make the most of this opportunity to grow, that you may equip us. And so as we get into your word this morning, I thank you that we're coming to a very powerful book. And this book, Father, has the power to change us, to transform us, to give us the foundation on which to build our lives. And when it's going to come, our lives will stand. And that's what we want, Father. We want to be kingdom women who are useful in your service. And so take this Sunday school class and raise up strong, godly, useful kingdom women. We just present ourselves to you this morning. We present our minds to your word. And we ask you to just take your word and really, really transform us. Now, Father, we pray for many things in our personal lives this morning. Just take a moment in your heart and just lift up to the Lord what it is that you want to cast before him in prayer because he cares for you. And Father, your word says, be anxious for nothing, pray about everything. You are a good Father, and you care and love us. We are your beloved daughters. And so we take our prayers this morning, and we cast them before you. I pray especially for Grace. And then another request I did mention was that Dee Dee told me that Jordan and Ben Skipper both have COVID. She's 8 months pregnant, about to deliver in a couple of weeks, and now she's got COVID. Not to mention she has two little toddlers under her feet. So Ben and Jordan both have COVID, and there they are. And Father, we pray for them this morning. Meet their needs. We pray that you will bring healing and bring it quickly. And for all the other needs that are on our hearts this morning, we lift them up to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's get out our handout this morning. And I wanted to begin this morning by thinking, and I really meant to bring my Bible, but I didn't, because I always type out my scripture. I used to use my Bible a lot, but I guess I used to use it my Bible app. Do y'all use your Bible app? And I got kind of, it's just so light. Not like a heavy Bible. And so I want you to speak with me this morning in this lesson just exactly what it means that you and I can hold in our hands, now listen, the very Word of God. The very Word of God. The very Word of the living God. And I'm going to tell you this morning that book is the greatest treasure in your life. And it really is. It's the greatest treasure that you own. Everything else is going to pass away, but not God's Word. Not one word will pass away. I have a very deep appreciation for the Word of God. I love God's Word. So it's God's very word to us. Another way to say it is this. It's God's very self-revelation. Because when you study your Bible, God reveals himself through his word. And when we read the words of the Bible, we're reading words that have come out of the very mouth of God. And this book makes the claim that all scripture is inspired by God. How much? All. Now let's begin by going to Hebrews 1 and look at two verses there. And we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is, but this is what the writer says. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us through his Son. Now let's study these two verses together because I want you to see what they tell us. We read it, but what is it saying to us this morning? Well, first of all, right down there, it tells us, first of all, that God spoke long ago. So write that down. Now, that is speaking of the Old Testament. God spoke long ago to who? To the prophets. So write that down. The prophets. And the prophets were men that received the direct revelation of the Word of God long ago as they were living under the Old Covenant. Now, we get some more information about them. First of all, they spoke in many portions. So write that down. Many different portions. Now that's speaking of the many different books that we have in the Old Testament. For example, and you did this in your homework, there are historical books, and there are books of poetry, and books of wisdom, and books of prophecy. And then it says, not only in many different portions, but write this down, in many different ways. Now in the Old Covenant, God spoke many different ways. My favorite one is when he spoke through the mouth of the donkey. I love that. But he spoke during vision. He spoke in dreams. He spoke through angels. He spoke through parables and types and symbols. And then the whole sacrificial system and the whole tabernacle was God speaking through ceremony. Sometimes God even spoke with an audible voice. He wrote on a stone with his fingers. And one time he wrote on a wall with his fingers. He spoke in many, many different ways. That's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not a collection of just religious, wise, ancient men who sat down and wrote what they thought about God. It's not a collection of religious thinking over the time of history. I'm telling you this morning, the Old Testament is the Word of God. Every word. Now go back to Hebrews 1. In verse 1, it says, God spoke. Who spoke? It's God then speaking. And the Old Testament was God speaking by the means of the prophets. They were God's mouthpiece to the nation. And then the nation of Israel was a priestly nation. In other words, their nation was the mouthpiece to the world. You see, the truth was coming through Israel. God gave them the oracles of God. God gave them the Ten Commandments. God gave them all of that information. And then they were supposed to be a nation that took God to the world. Now, they weren't very good at it. But
But notice back in our verse in Hebrews 1, it says, then it says, in the last day. So let me tell you when the last days began. They began when Jesus appeared on the earth. You and I are living in the last days. We've been living in what's called the last days for over 2,000 years. And so in these last days, since the coming of Christ, God has spoken, once more, and he has spoken to us how? Look at your birth in the Son. So write that on your handout. Now, who is the Son?
That's the Lord.
It's you. And the Gospels record God speaking through his Son. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They record the life and the words of Jesus. And then you come to the historical book in the New Testament, the book of Acts. And that records God moving and the church being born and the history of the church. And then you come to the letters, the epistles in the New Testament. And God is speaking through the deep understanding and the meaning of the life and the ministry of Jesus is taken in the epistles and it's expanded. What does it mean what his work was? And we see that is letters to the church to help us. And then the very last book is Revelation. And that gives us the consummation of everything when his Son is going to come back in glory. So the Old Testament is God speaking and revealing himself. And the New Testament is God speaking and revealing himself through his Son. The Old Testament is not just a story of man's beginning and of man and what's happened through man. It's not even really the story of a nation of Israel. Now, those stories are there in the Old Testament. But foremost, the Old Testament is the revelation of God. And he's revealed through man, and he's revealed through history, and he's revealed through the nation of Israel, and through all that happened. Now let's write it this way on my handout. The Old Testament is the revelation of God to show men what God is like. First of all, Teresa, what is God like? Well, I'm going to go, and I'm going to find in the Old Testament what God is like. Not only that, I'm going to find out who God is. I'm finding out the what, I'm finding out the who. I'm also going to find out what God tolerates and what God doesn't tolerate. And then I'm going to, it's going to show how God desires holiness and how he punishes sin. Well, what about the New Testament? Well, let's write it down this way. The New Testament is God revealed by his Son, first of all, through the life of his Son, next, and then through the message of his Son, and then through an understanding of the work of his Son. And in the understanding of the coming of his Son to establish his eternal kingdom. But in either case this morning, whether we're talking Old Testament or New Testament, it is the Word of God. The Bible is not the Word of man. Now, Jesus gave the apostles and the other writers of the New Testament a promise that he was going to tell them what he wanted them to say. He was going to give them divine inspiration. Look on your handout at John 14:26. I want you to see what Jesus told them. He said, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And look what else he'll do. He'll bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. I want you to get this in your hearts this morning. This book is not the word of wise and godly men. It is the word of God himself. It's kind of why I'm against the red letter edition. You know, we say, well, the red letter, that's Jesus' word. Well, actually, the whole Bible is God's word. Not just the red letter. It is the word of God himself. Let's ask another question. What was the process God used to reveal himself? And the answer to that question is this word, inspiration. So I want you to write that down. Now let's go to 2 Peter 1 this morning, verses 20 and 21. And Peter has in mind in this portion of Scripture, he's talking about where the Scripture originates. And let's see what Peter says. This is what he says. But know this. First of all, he says, that no prophecy. Now let's start right here. Speaker, what do you mean prophecy? Are you talking about somebody predicting the future? No. That word prophecy there is a generic word. It just means no message. No message. It's a generic word. So Peter says, no prophecy, no message of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Now, look at that word, interpretation. In the Greek, that word means inspiration. What Peter is saying is that no message of Scripture is a matter of one's own inspiration. Go back to the verse. For no prophecy, no message was ever made by an act of human will, but here we have it. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now this is very clear. And the verb tense in the Greek that's used in these verses, that verb tense indicates that men were involved in the process, but the message did not originate with them in their own thinking. It didn't come from their own will. They were just used, and they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the words of God. And God used them. No, they had personality. They had their own particular background. They had their own insights from their own experiences. They had their own perceptions. But every word was the word of God. And that is the miracle of inspiration. So when you're picking up your Bible, or when you're on your Bible app, I want you to get in your head, you're not reading the words of men. You're reading the words of God. This is the very claim of Scripture. Let's look at it in 2 Timothy 3:16. And there Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God. Now that word inspired, some translations say God breathed. I like that better. All Scripture is God-breathed. How much of Scripture? How much? All Scripture. Now, Jeremiah is a good illustration of this, and I'm just going to point him out as an example. Jeremiah was called by God before he was ever born. Look at Jeremiah 1, 4 through 6. God is speaking to Jeremiah here, and he says, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart. And I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I am you. This is too much for me. I won't ever be able to do that, God. And down in verse 9, it says, then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. And that was the promise for the writers of Scripture. All Scripture is God's word. The Bible is such a unique book. We recognize that. I recognize that. You recognize that. The early church recognized it. God is the author of Scripture. Now let me clarify what I'm saying. The Bible knows nothing of inspired men, only inspired God-breathed words. For example, it was not Isaiah, it was not David, it was not Paul, it was not John or any other biblical writer that was inspired as a person. So, you know, they were just like these set-apart people who had God words in them, and anytime they wanted to, they could just go sit down and write Scripture. No, no, no. There were only very special moments in their life when they were given directly from God his word to write. I mean, we just have two little books by Peter. Just a few little books by John. One book by Jude. I mean, if they were inspired, why didn't they just sit down and write all the time? They're all the words of God's word. No, it's like God came upon them at certain times and gave them the word that was to be written down. And they wrote it down, word by word, what God breathed into them. Now, it was miraculous, it was a supernatural process, and the result was, we have our Bible. They wrote for God. And by the way, they never seemed to be self-conscious about it. Most of them, for the most part, were not educated. They were just common people, common men, unlearned men. And yet, as they wrote and as they shared, they were very confident that they were writing the Word of God. In fact, about 4,000 times in the Bible, the writers claimed to be writing the Word of God. Now, that's pretty objective. Oh, hey, girls, I'm writing the Word of God. Well, how do you know? Well, maybe I'm not. Maybe I don't know. No, they were confident that what they were writing was the Word of God. They wrote on the nature and the church of God, on His purposes unfolding in the world, and they were right about every single thing that they wrote. And they all claimed it came from God. And by the way, the New Testament writers claimed it just like the Old Testament writers. And you really see in the Old Testament, they would say, thus says the Lord, or thus says God. They quoted In the New Testament, the New Testament writers quoted the Old Testament directly 320 times, and then about 1,000 times they made an inference or referred to indirectly something written in the Old Testament. They believed the Old Testament was the inspired Word of God, and they understood they were writing the Word of God itself. Now let's talk about this. The Bible is accurate on every single thing it talks about. Whether you're talking about theology, physiology, biology, history, science, astronomy, whatever the subject, the Bible is accurate. And as you study the Bible, it will predict things historically that are absolutely accurate. For example, Ezekiel 30 predicted the destruction of Egypt. It happened. Nahum 1 predicted the destruction of Nineveh. It happened. Isaiah 13, the destruction of Babylon. Hosea 13, the destruction of Samaria. Ezekiel 25, the destruction of Moab and Ammon. One mathematician by the name of Peter Stoner took 11 prophecies with all their details, calculated the probability of all of that occurring by chance, and it came up with 1 in 5.76 times 10 to the 59th power, and what that means, I have no idea. Let's just say God is accurate and very amazing. And His Word is scientifically, geographically, historically, and whatever the subject is, it is accurate. Now, one last question I want to ask this morning. What is the Word of God good for? I'm so glad you asked. Let's go back to 2 Timothy for the answer. Now, I wish I could just teach on this little portion of Scripture for several weeks. It's so rich. So today we're just going to look at it in a brief way. And we're going to just touch on it. And it's going to cause us to see we really do need the Word of God in our lives. Now, in verse 16, Peter starts out by saying this. All Scripture, and we looked at it a minute ago, is God's word. It's inspired by God. And then notice his second statement about Scripture. He says this, and it is profitable. Profitable. It's inspired, and it's profitable. It's good for something. It's going to produce something in your life. Let's finish the verse. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Now, I just love what the Word of God does in our lives. And I'm going to show you five things the Word of God does.
Well, Teresa, there's only four there.
Well, we're going to have to back up. Let's back up to verse 15 and we'll see the first one. And here Paul is writing to his son in the faith. He's old now, and he's about to die, and he's passing on the mantle of his ministry to his young son in the faith, Timothy. And he says to Timothy in verse 15, he says, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. What is that talking about? Talking about the Old Testament. You've known the sacred writings, Timothy, and didn't notice what they're able to produce, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So on our handout, write this down. The first work of the Word is salvation. By the way, here's who taught Timothy the sacred writings. It was his mother and his grandmother, Minnie and Lois. And they taught their young son and their young grandson as he was a little boy. The father was not a believer. But the mother and the grandmother taught their son the scripture. And that scripture was able to make Timothy wise unto salvation. Don't ever underestimate the power of the Word of God. Do you want your sons and daughters and grandchildren to be saved? Well, then plant the Word of God in their heart. Put it in them. It's able to make them wise unto salvation. Give it a priority in your rearing of your children and your grandchildren. Look on your handout. Paul said this in Romans 1 about the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Paul? Because as I go out and preach it, that's all I have to do. I just put it out there. I speak it forth and look what it does. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I just proclaim the gospel, which is God's word, and the result will be people will get saved. You say, the truth is there's so much I don't know. I'm just telling you, if you'll go out and share the Word of God, the gospel, the simple gospel message, people will respond to that and they'll be saved. Well, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? Don't worry about that. Bring them to God's grace. But it's the Word which brings the gospel. It's the Word that is anointed. And the Holy Spirit uses it to bring new life. So speak the word into your children and your grandchildren because it will bring salvation. Number two, profitable for teaching. Now, as you study it, you learn the truth that leads to a godly life. That word of God will give you the foundation on which to build your every thought and your every action. Did you know you can build your life upon the Word of God? It's comprehensive. Truth, that sounds so good. But I want to tell you something this morning. You cannot build your life on what you don't know. Amen? You see, you get born again, the Holy Spirit moves in. But then that's just the very starting point. Now it's time to grow. Now it's time to learn. Now it's time to really get in the Word and learn what the Word says and then build your life upon the Word. Master God's Word. Master God's Word. Look at Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those, Jesus said, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I can only tell you this morning, when I got saved and the Holy Spirit moved in, I knew nothing about the Bible. I just knew I was a needy person, and I knew I needed to be saved. But then God did something. He gave me a hunger for God's Word. Do you have a hunger for God's Word? Do you have an appetite for God's Word? Or can you take it or leave it? That's why Sunday school is so important. That's why worship service. All the new ways of building God's word into your life, give them priority. Because if you will, the promise of Scripture is, you will be satisfied. Can I just tell you this morning, I am so satisfied. I am so satisfied. God's word brings such satisfaction in my life. And I'm standing on a sure foundation in my life. Well, Teresa, what if something bad happens? Doesn't matter. That's outside. I'm planted on God's law. And I know His word. I can talk for a long time on this. Let's go to the third one. The third thing that it's profitable for is reproof. Now, this one is an ouch. And this is why a lot of people don't come to the Word of God. They don't like to be rebuked. And so that word there means to rebuke. So write that on your handout. It's not fun to be rebuked, is it? And it also means to confront someone with a view of convicting them of their misbehavior. When I got saved, there was just a lot in my past. Frankly, I was a mess. And so the first thing that happened is God moved in. He didn't say to me, Teresa, get your life together, and then I'll look at your life. No, He just said, just give me the whole mess. I gave Him the whole mess. He moved in. He began to gently put my life together. And a lot of that meant He had to point out things in my life that needed to be redeemed. And it wasn't fun. But here's the truth about God's Word. It's not just that God's Word builds you and gives you the right foundation. Guess what else it will do? It will tear down your old foundation. It's something that rips and tears and shreds that which deserves to be ripped out of our lives. And it's just a rebuking ministry, convicts us of sin. So as you're in God's Word, and you're reading it, and you're studying it deeply, it begins to cut away at the sin in your life. I always think it's like a flashlight that's down in the depths of my heart, and it's pointing it out, Teresa, right here, Teresa, this area. Look at Hebrews 4. I like how it tells us here that the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's like a sword. Now look, that's speaking in the Greek, not of a big, huge sword that comes in and just whacks. It's speaking of a dagger, a very sharp, a very precise knife, and it comes in and it completely cuts open and cuts deeply into our lives. I have so many stories to tell you. I wish I had time. Of times when I would be in the Word. Maybe I was getting ready for Sunday school. And that sword of the Spirit would cut quick into my heart and say, Teresa, you can't teach that until you get right in your own life. I'd be convicted. And sometimes a word would come out of my mouth, and immediately, I know, that was wrong, I should have never said that. Ever been there? This work of God's Word is a very important work. And I'm very thankful for it. It's all a part of our growing process. And the Holy Spirit knows just how to show you where you need to change and exactly how you need to get in line with His will. This is the reproving work of the Word. And I've learned to welcome it. I've learned when I go to the Word, God, speak to me. God, if there's any wicked thing in me, show me. I don't want to be deceived. Correct my wrong thinking. So what happens the word of God comes along and cuts me up. But look what happens next, number four, correction. It's profitable for correction. Now this word in the Greek is only used here in the New Testament. And it literally means to straighten up. Straighten up. To lift you up. That's what it means. Now look what happens. This is so cool. The Word of God comes along, and the Word of God just cuts you up. It's the cool thing. But then, immediately, on the other hand, it's able to pick you up. You see, it sways you and puts you flat, and then it comes right along and picks you right back up. Straightens you up. Sets you back on the feet. Thoroughly restores you to an upright position. And that is what the word correction means. It'll put you back together again. Some she dumped you, had a great fall. You remember that? She fell off the wall, and all the king's horses, and all the king's men couldn't put a bunch of together again. But you know what? God can knock you off the wall and scatter you to pieces, but then guess what God will do? He can put you back together again. Because as you read it, even though it pierces your heart, it cuts in your heart deeply, but then as you read it, it also gives you the instruction you need to build you back up again. So the Word of God is not only a knife, a sword, but it's also the tool of building. And that is why we are to let it dwell within us richly. God's Word is such an amazing thing. It restores your soul. That is so encouraging to me this morning. We have such great access to this book in our lives. Can I just say, everything you need for life is in that book. Everything you need. There's one more, and I got to hurry. Training in righteousness. That word training in the Greek means to train a child. It has to do with educating children. Now this is saying, look, the Word of God is able to blow you up. Isn't that good news? It can nurture you. It can raise you. It can bring you to maturity. And Paul is saying the training process is basically just the work of the Word. Teresa, I really want to grow. I want to be a strong Christian. I want to be useful to God. I'm telling you, it will happen no other way than for you to be trained. And you're going to have to get in God's Word. And there's no shortcuts here. You're going to have to take time, and you're going to have to give it your priority. One more question I want to ask this morning. Well, if I do all those things, how successful will it be? Go back to 2 Timothy 3. It's so successful that the man of God, the woman of God, in whom the Word is working now, will be, look at the Word, perfect, complete, adequate, equipped, for not most, but for him, every good work. Do you want your life to be just a series of you walking in the good works of God that he prepared beforehand? He wanted you to walk in. I tell you, you be a woman of this Word. And this Word will do this in your life. And when I say to you this morning that Scripture is comprehensively sufficient, that is exactly what I mean. It is all you need. And that's the power of the Word. Now, what should our response to this lesson be this morning? Just write it down. First of all, believe the Word. That's the first thing. Believe it. If God says it, it's true. I've learned that in my life. If it's in God's Word, I'm going to take it as the Word of God, and I'm going to base my life on that Word. Number two, I'm going to study it. I'm going to have to make time for it. Number three, I'm going to honor it. Because you know what the Bible says? It says that God has exalted his Word above his name. They're together. He is so holy. His Word is so holy. I'm going to give it respect. And number four, I'm going to love it. That's what the psalmist says. Oh, how I love your Word, he says.
I feel that in my heart. God, oh, how I love your word. You took a broken down person with issues and all kinds of problems. And you've given me a life that is totally satisfying. You've taken the whole gypsum violated ball of tangled yarn and you straightened it all out. That's your power. And it's all because I died in God's life. And then number five, what should my response be? Obey it. That's my heart this morning. God, I want to be an obedient God. I just want to do life your way. And I'll tell you quite frankly, I've learned it's just easier to do life God's way because I'm His, I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify Him in my body. This comes out of Corinthians. And so I've learned that if I don't, because I'm His, you know what He's going to do? He's going to discipline me. And discipline is my sin. I would just rather do it your way than to have to go through the discipline. And number six, I'm going to fight for it. And that is comes out of Jesus, that idea. Because Jesus says you need to earnestly contend for the faith. Fight for it. And then number seven, girls, we got to preach it. We've got to share it. We've got to preach it. We've got to be all about sharing the Word of God in our world. Amen. Now, we're not going to have Sunday school next week because next week is Easter. But that's going to give you 2 weeks to do lesson two. So imagine. You say, oh, good, I have really done lesson one. Well, that's good. You got 2 weeks. And I want you to do your homework. Why, Teresa? Because look at what the Word of God will do in your life. Give it time. Put that time in your day where you can get in God's Word. And here we're going to get in lesson two some tools that are going to help you be a woman and know how to study the Bible. So I look forward to week after next teaching you that lesson. And happy Easter next week. Hope you have a good time. I hope you have a pretty day, don't you? Let's pray together. And Father, thank you for getting us out on time. Thank you for, I'm so inadequate to teach this lesson, God. To try to communicate the amazing book that is in our hands. I feel it in my heart. I know it in my own life that I just break down when it comes to trying to communicate how powerful, how precious, what a treasure it is. And so, Father, just take this lesson and Father, help us to have our eyes open that if we want to be useful, adequate, complete, ready for every good work, we're going to have to be women who are standing on your word. To know it, to believe it, to obey it, to honor it, and to talk it. Impress upon our hearts, Father, how important it is. Make our Sunday school class the class that knows the Word, the class that shares the Word, the class that's built upon your Word, and use us in our church, use us in our family, use us in our community. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see y'all next 2 weeks.